Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We go from virtuoso guitar player to virtuoso guitar player. Rolling Stone recently listed guitarist Kaki King alongside John Mayer and the White Stripes' Jack White in the magazine's New Guitar Gods issue. And although Kaki was named the queen of the acoustic guitar by National Public Radio, she has gone electric on her latest record called Until We Felt Red. She joins us today with her electric guitar, as well as a lap steel and a couple of effects pedals, and she's going to start us off with a live performance on the lap steel guitar of a song called Gay Sons of Lesbian Mothers. Here's Kaki King. That's Kaki King live in our studio on Soundcheck and a song called Gay Sons of Lesbian Mothers. And that is all done live on the lap steel. So, Kaki, first of all, good to have you back on Soundcheck.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
We just had three generations of blues guitarists leave the studio.
It was unbelievable.
And you're the one that walks in with the lap steel, which is
A
kind of bluesy instrument.
It's true. I think it's pretty much associated with blues and country, and
Not with what you just did,
no.
which is this kind of live multi-tracking where you can do kind of bass sounds, drum sounds.
Yeah, well, I think when I realized I could do that, and then I could do that, I could make all the percussion sounds that I needed to, I started doing these kind of wacky live dance music lap steel sort of things. And so that, yeah.
So is there a backstory, or is it just a fun title, it, Gay Sons and Lesbian Mothers?
Well, no, it's a fun title.
Okay.
Well, there there are a few people who I do know who are the Gay Sons of Lesbian Mothers, and it's quite an interesting family dynamic. But no, really, basically, it's a fun title.
All right. Your first two records, you really developed quite a following for your acoustic guitar playing. And then with the latest record, Until We Felt Red, the switch to electric. Why did that happen?
I have a very short attention span, and I really found that it was kind of a there was a creative dimension to just thinking, well, am I really going to be able to do the same thing, the same record three records in a row, keep it with acoustic? I don't know. And I think also I had so many other songs and ideas that I had been working on exploring. And I just wanted to have a chance to see what else I was capable of,
mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Well, I guess there was a progression. I mean, the first album was just you and the guitar, the acoustic
mm-hmm.
guitar. The second album, more of an ensemble, almost chamber music kind of feel
yep.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the third album, full-on songs,
yep.
This one notwithstanding, most of them with you singing. You know,
not most, but with a fair amount.
A fair amount,
mm-hmm. yes.
Rolling Stone referred to you as Van Halen meets Bootsy. Now, we're either
do we?
We're either Eddie Van Halen or Bootsy Collins sort of musical touchstones for you, or are they just pulling names out
do
of
we,
their
do we
whatever?
Have, yeah, I think that's exactly what they were doing. Well, when I heard the whole Rolling Stone thing was coming out, I thought, oh, this is so great. This is my moment. I've been reading Rolling Stone since I was a baby. I mean, it was the first music magazine ever. And I was so excited. And then I go, Van Halen meets Bootsy Collins. Oh, my God. And the funniest thing was is that it kind of listed career achievements for everyone. And I think my greatest achievement was playing a 20-minute set tweener at a Mo show at the Beacon Theater. Which, I mean, no Letterman, no Conan, no Carnegie Hall, none of that. It was 20 minutes
but wait a minute,
at a Mo
show. You've done sound check.
And no sound check.
How did that miss getting in there? Khaki King is my guest. The album's called Until We Felt Red, and there's, you know, all the red yarn imagery, you know, draped all over you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
The real meaning of the title is in the ellipsis, which is dot, 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 Until We Felt Red. So precisely, depending on what you think happened, Until We Felt Red is kind of the interpretation. And I've gotten quite a few interesting insights as to what that might mean.
So different things for different people. It didn't
mm-hmm.
mean anything specific to you, just kind of an evocative title?
It means something very specific, but I can't tell.
I get it. You could tell me, but then you'd have to kill me.
Exactly.
One of those sorts of things.
Right.
So there are, as you say, a number of songs on the record.
Yes.
Was this writing lyrics? Is this something you've been doing all along, or is this kind of a new thing for you?
Not particularly. And certainly, I wouldn't ever say it's my forte. And I was far more interested, I think, lyrically, the song I'm going to play, Yellow Cake, came from going, well, let's see, I've never sung on it. Well, I had sung briefly on both of the prior records, but on one song each. And I was thinking, well, what can I really do to change this up? So I put as many vocal tracks as possible as really the song could hold, and thought, well, that will screw everyone's idea. But a lot of it had to do with the sound of the vocal and just really creating an instrument out of it, which is, I'm a huge fan of bands like Lush and Stereolab and shoegazing music and Cocteau Twins, where you don't have any idea what they're talking about or saying. The lyrics are uninterpretable, but it's...
And in the case of the Cocteau Twins, they're made up lyrics. I mean,
precisely. Or Dead Can Dance or things
right.
like that, where you just it's sort of gobbledygook. But, I mean, I am saying words, but a lot of times it's really more of just the syllables and the consonants and the vowels and how those things are a lot more important to me because I'm an instrumentalist. And,
okay.
And
so yellow cake is neither about a favorite dessert nor about uranium.
It
presumably.
Is about it is a meditation on uranium. I mean, the first lyric is "It appears unavoidable," like as in, you know, one day a bomb is going to destroy us all. However, it's not particularly. None of the lyrics are really. You can draw your own conclusion.
So it's. It's a cheerful number.
Yeah. Well, I sing it to people, and then I say, and that was about nuclear destruction, as I'm sure you gathered.
Let's hear a live performance. Khaki King is my guest, live in our soundcheck studio. Yellow Cake is the name of that song from Khaki King. Her most recent record is called Until We Felt Red. And Khaki, it is a record that you made yourself after, you know, being on a major label,
yeah,
on Epic Records. Trade-offs, the good, the bad of not being with a major label?
Well, getting anything done now requires maybe one or two emails and maybe a phone call. With Epic, it was 30 or 40 and about 20 phone calls. So,
but, you know. But then when it got done, you had a major record label behind you to push it out there.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's the theory, at least.
Instrumental acoustic guitarist.
Yeah,
all
right.
Honestly, it was not a bad move, and it wasn't a bad move leaving. And it certainly, there's a lot of mess when there's so many people involved. And I'm a bit of control freak is not a word I would use because I'm certainly not that type of personality. But in terms of just keeping everything organized and making sure that there's only a few people that need to agree that this is a good song and that it can go on the record, and not having it being chased around and having to deal with too many people. But I had a great positive experience at Epic, and all the people I worked with were really wonderful and helpful. And I certainly don't have the major label nightmare where they, you know, try to get me lose 10 pounds and start wearing fake eyelashes or anything. So that's a good thing.
Well, now, speaking of fake eyelashes, is it true you wear fake nails?
Yes, it is.
Lee press-on nails?
Lee press-ons are, you know, that's child's play compared to these things. I go to the nail salon and I get these huge, very thick acrylic nails put on. They don't look unreal. They just, you know, they're thick as in a heavy pick would be. So, but yeah,
Do you get both hands or just your picking hands?
No, no. Well, why would I get? I just get the picking hand. So occasionally people. This is an inside. You should know this stuff, John. This is inside guitarist information.
I know, but I thought at least, you know, if you're doing the one hand for appearance sake, you might have the other set of nails done.
Well, I'm not doing it for appearance sake, though. I'm doing it, well, if I were doing it for appearance sake, yeah. But I remember I ran into a kid in college when I just started putting acrylic nails on, and he had long nails on one hand and short on the other. And we were in an elevator, and I said, oh, you know, are you a guitar player? And he goes, no, man, it's all about, like, being opposite inside yourself. And I thought, God, I really hope people don't look at my nails and think I'm some kind of weirdo.
No, but your hands have actually, in addition to being able to play the guitar with them, have gotten you film work.
Yes.
as the body double or the hand double, the stunt guitar player.
The stunt guitar player.
In this movie called August Rush?
Yes. It's a.
How does one get that gig?
You know, that is a good question. I really don't know. They had shot this film. Freddie Highmore, who was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, this sort of, you know, really adorable little kid. He's an orphaned musical prodigy, and one of the things he does is busks on the street, and he plays a Michael Hedges song. And another time, I think, in a previous scene, he just discovers a guitar. And I think at the studio, they decided that it didn't sort of look amazing enough or child prodigious. What? Prodigious? Whatever. It didn't look...
Childly prodigious.
Childly prodigious. Thank you. enough. And so I was kind of called in to re-record the music. They'd already shot the film, and they had to live with that. So they had me re-record the music and then spice it up. And then the spiced up part they had to refilm, so I got in his costume. I guess what they were trying to figure out, someone who could both record the music and not be on film without giant man hands,
right,
is what they're looking for.
Right. So,
and so
you fit the bill.
I fit the bill. I'm 5'1". I don't have tiny hands, but they're certainly not hairy knuckles. So yeah, and that that was quite an interesting experience.
All right. So you started from solo acoustic to ensemble, now electric with singing, this sort of weird entree into the world of film. What's next for you?
I don't know. It's a great question. I was just in Australia, and they have great festivals over there, and they kind of make you play several times during each festival. And I started doing these improvised lap steel sets, similar to what you heard, except I was really just making everything up. And then I would loop some stuff, and then I would go sit on the drum set that the stage had and just kind of play some beats along with what I was doing. And I thought it was rather ridiculous. I was at one point competing with the John Butler Trio, which is just this huge, huge band in Australia. And they were playing the main stage, and I was playing some side stage. And so I kind of thought, oh, well, I'll just be ridiculous and do what I want. And people thought it was the best gig that I'd played.
Khaki King, thanks very much for joining us
today.
Thank
you for having me.
And that'll do it for Soundcheck today. There are many ways to listen to Soundcheck. Our archives and podcasts live on the website at wnyc.org, and you can chime in. There's a comments feature on our website. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise, Joel Meyer, and Allison Lichter. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again for the next Soundcheck.